In this session, we're going to be dealing with our administration. So to do that, we're going to find out to whom are the church epistles addressed to. And I've asked certain people to stand up and read me the verse that opens these books to tell us who that epistle is addressed to. The book of Romans.
Okay, in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. How many of you are called of God? How many of you are beloved of God? To all that in every place that call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. All of you call on Him?
Yes.
All right. So Romans is addressed to us. The epistles were encyclical. So they would take the scroll that was sent to Rome and they'd pass it over here to the next place. And it'd go from fellowship to fellowship. You read about the one at Laodicea. It was probably Ephesians. Could have been Colossians or something, but probably Ephesians. Because there is no epistle of the Laodiceans. They would substitute, that would be left blank, and they would just write their fellowship's name in there. So that's how that works. Okay, 1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians 1, 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours.
There it is. So what it says is to us, is it not?
Yes.
And it concerns us as well, right?
Yes.
2 Corinthians.
Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia.
Okay. Galatians?
Galatians 1, 2. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
That concerns us as well. Next.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
For believers in Christ Jesus. It's the word pistos. It can be either active or passive. So you can translate it as believing ones or faithful, either one. It's describing the saints. And you have two things said and one thing meant, which is a hendiades, a figure of speech, to really add up to it. You're not only in Christ, but you're believing in Christ as well. Alright? Philippians?
Yeah. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons.
So it's to the sanctified ones, to the saints. A saint is one who is set apart from the common lot. You are sanctified. So the Holy Spirit is what sanctifies us from the common lot. And it's from the work of Christ that made it available. Okay, Colossians.
To the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae.
That's right. Okay. Who's next? That was Colossians.
Oh, that's me then.
Yeah, 1 Thessalonians.
Paul and Silvanus Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. 2 Thessalonians.
Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
So you can read anything in these church epistles. It's got your name on it. You're separated from the common lot of mankind. You're now set apart by God's Spirit. Now you're beloved of God. You're saints. That's pretty good. So now you can read your mail. You know, what an AOL user, you have mail.
You've got mail.
And in the book here, I listed the verses that are in the church epistle. I think it's all of them. Maybe you'll find some more. And in the other pastoral epistles from Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, that he wrote. So that's the stuff you're looking at on the hope. And we have it printed up for you, the stuff that I was working on too, to come up with this stuff. And it's all the verses in the Bible. Old Testament, Gospels, church epistles, Book of Revelation. So they're in there. It's not exhaustive, but it's enough to give you a framework And if you find more, just add it to your list, but you'll have it laid out to you. Because when you're looking at this stuff, you've got to determine whether it's addressed to Jew, Gentile, or Church of God, which is in Christ. This is what's addressed to us. Gentiles are all the nations on earth other than the nation of Israel that was formed in Jacob. And God changed his name to Israel. So there were 12 tribes of those folks, and we weren't one of them. So, what we're going to do in this session is read the book of Ephesians. We've got a half hour. And it's loaded with the hope. Okay, you can turn the thermostat up before they turn blue to white here. You put it on 68. It's always 10 degrees hotter than the thermostat. What do you have set it on now?
20.
Okay. And I'm going to read from A Journey Through the Acts and the Epistles by Reverend Cummins. You can get this online. He's got a website. It's got the King James, and then he's got his working translation across the page. So if I just read his translation, you can follow in the King James. And this way, it pretty well explains itself. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the holy, bracketed sanctified ones who are at Ephesus and faithful or believing in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. Even as he chose us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, sanctified, in brackets, and without blemish before him. In love, comma, he determined beforehand for us to have sonship to himself through Jesus Christ in accordance with the good pleasure of his will, under the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he highly favored us in the beloved one, Jesus Christ. In him, the beloved one, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he caused to abound unto us, period. With all wisdom and prudence, he has made known to us the mystery of his will in accordance with his good pleasure, which he himself purposed in Christ, so that in the administration of the fullness of times, he might bring all things together under one head in the Christ, that is, the things in heaven and the things upon the earth in him. Now, there's a lot going on here, isn't there? He speaks of the fullness of time's administration. And in this administration, all things in heaven and all things on earth are going to be headed up in who?
Christ.
That's called the Lord's Day in other places. Things equal to the same thing or equal to one another, I think. So when you read about the Lord's Day in the Old Testament, here he's revealing the mystery of his will. The mystery is this administration. The mystery, we'll look at chapter 3. We'll get to it again in a second, but read chapter 3 and in verse 2. It says, if in fact you have heard about the administration of the grace of God that was given to me for you, namely, that by revelation the mystery was made known to me, even as I briefly wrote previously in chapter 2. then you're able by reading to grasp my understanding in the mystery pertaining to the Christ, which in other generations not be made known as is made known now, yada, 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 yada. There's a lot less than the least. And then it says, verse 9, and to enlighten all people regarding what is the administration of the mystery which has been hidden from the ages in God who created all things. There it's called the administration of the mystery. So our administration is the administration of the grace of God, also called the administration of the mystery. So it's given two different names there. Corinthians, you read about it called the ministration of the Spirit. Basically, because it began when God poured out the Spirit on the day of Pentecost by Christ, and it will end when those having that Spirit are gathered together into the heavenlies to meet the Lord in the air. And then like He went up in a cloud, we're going to go up. Just like when God's glory would fill the temple when it was opened up, commissioned, whatever you want to say. His glory filled it and lit it up and all, just like the cloud that led Israel, and it was a pillar of fire by night, and during the day it was shade. Same kind of cloud Christ went up on, rode it on up. This His was an elevator like ours. And up we will go into the cloud. Some places it's called Shekinah glory in the Old Testament. It's the presence of God. So in that cloud, He led them through the wilderness, through the sea, and all of that. He's going to lead us into the heavenlies in the same cloud. It'll be nice. That's free. Don't worry about it. Okay. Came straight out of my mind. All right. What verse were we in, chapter 1? Okay, verse 10. So then in the administration of the fullness of times, He might bring all things together under one head in the Christ. Things in the heaven, that's the angels. Things upon the earth, that'd be us, the church. That'll be Israel. That'll be all the nations in the next administration. It'll be the fullness of times administration. In Him, the Christ, we were also chosen, which was determined beforehand in accordance with the purpose of Him, who works all things according to the deliberation of His own will. He's not asking for ideas, is He?
No.
He's told us over and over, it's my idea, I planned it out, it was by my counsel, I determined it, it's my will, good pleasure of my will, by the way, and He's going to bring it all to pass by the authority of the power of His Word. And He's delegated all authority to Christ until His will is all fulfilled. It's pretty good. He'll subdue every enemy, and He'll perform all of God's will. All righty. Verse 12, that we who previously hoped in the Christ should be under the praise of His glory. In Him, the Christ, you also, after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation or deliverance, having also believed in Him, were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment, the deposit of our inheritance until the redemption of the acquisition. When is that? The gathering together. That's our hope. When we will acquire the acquisition of our inheritance unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore, ever since I heard of your believing in the Lord Jesus and your love to all the holy sanctified ones, I do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, or acknowledgement of Him. In other words, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you know what is the what? Hope of His calling. This is Ephesians. Look how much has already been about the hope. It's the first thing He wants our understanding lit up about. It's when we will acquire our inheritance, when Christ will return for His purchased possession, the church. And what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the holy sanctified ones? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe? That power is according to the working of the strength of His ability, which He energized in the Christ when He raised Him from the dead and caused Him to sit at His right side in the heavenly realm, far above every ruler and authority and power and lordship, even every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the coming age. He put all things in subjection under His feet and made Him the head over all things in the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all things and all people. Even you, who had been dead in your trespasses and sins, you formerly walked in those things according to this worldly age, according to the ruler of the authority of the atmosphere, the ruler of the Spirit, the ruler of the Spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Likewise, we all had our manner of life among them formerly in the cravings of our flesh, doing the wills of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature we were children of wrath, even as the rest. However, God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with who?
Christ.
By grace you are saved. And He raised us up together and caused us to sit together in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus. See, He's seated there today. We're not yet, but we're seated there as members of His body in Him. He represents us while we're on assignment down here. Okay, where was I? Verse 7. Here it is. So that in the coming ages He might display the exceeding riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Let me read that again. So that in the coming ages, that'd be the fullness of time's administration or the Lord's day, and in the third heaven and earth. It's going to take Him eternity, in other words, to display the exceeding riches of His grace. Exceeding. It's huperbalo. It's so far beyond anything you could anticipate. It's way beyond. It's exceeding riches. It's beyond anything you could ever imagine or ask for. That's how amazing the glory is going to be. And how will it be presented to us? In the loving kindness and tender mercies of our Father. That's our hope. That's when the Lord comes back for what He purchased with His life. That's when we acquire the possession of the inheritance. God wants us to know the great hope we have, His inheritance in us, and the exceeding great power He's going to bring it to pass with. It's not talking about the great power we have when we find parking spaces. It's talking about the exceeding great power He worked in Christ. All those things He put under Him, not only in this administration, but all in the coming. That at His command, everything will obey. That He has command over graves. He has command over living, over kings, over lordships, principalities, powers, mights, dominions, every name is named, now and forever. Isn't that wonderful? That's the power He's talking about. And the same power that he worked in Christ, he worked in us when he raised him from the dead. When he did the accomplishments, it might as well have been you accomplishing it. God sees no difference. He sees us from that day forth in Christ. So how should we view ourselves? We ought to think about ourselves the way God thinks about us. It's the good pleasure of his will, he said twice, that he did all of this. It came up with the idea in Genesis 3:15, laid it out. And then he started to drip ideas a little more at a time about how wonderful that hope is going to be. He's given us glimpses. It's just like we were school kids and we're having a play and you look out. He pulls the curtain back a little bit and gives you a glimpse. That's what we have today. It's Christ in you. The hope of glory. We haven't gotten it yet. We haven't seen him make all things new again. It's just not the gathering together. That's the opening event. Then it stretches out through eternity. All the way out there. It incorporates all of it. Let's keep reading. Verse 7, so that in the coming ages he might display the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. By grace you have certainly been saved through believing. And this is not of yourselves, it's the offering of God. This salvation is not from yourselves, it's the offering of God. It's the Greek word doron. It's when you offered a sacrifice up to the Father. Well, he presented the sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he turned around and received it on our behalf. We had nothing to do with this deal. It was totally between the Christ and God. All we did was by his divine favor receive the benefits. By the good pleasure of his will, by his own counsel, by his own determination. It was his idea, his plan, and his power that's going to bring it all to pass. By grace, verse 8, you have certainly been saved through believing, and this salvation is not from yourselves. It's the offering of God. It is not of our works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That's why I know it's not in other previous administrations. It's created. This is a new man. It never existed before. We were created in Christ Jesus on the basis of good works. That basis was his good works, not yours and mine. The Greek word is upon, epi. This is resting upon the table. That's the word. It's not our good works. This is the only verse in the first three chapters that you're mentioned at all. It can't be right. It's totally out of the context. It doesn't fit with the verse and what precedes and follows it. It just told us not of your works, lest any man shall boast. It's totally by my divine favor. It's my workmanship. You're created in Christ Jesus. He's not going to change and start telling us how to walk. That doesn't come up until chapter 4. Anyway, that's free. On the basis of good works that God previously prepared so that we may walk in them. We walk in His works, the basis of His work of salvation. Wherefore, remember that you were formerly Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by those who were called circumcision, made by hand in the flesh. And at that time you were without Christ, alienated from the citizenship of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having what?
No.
And being without God in the world. So we went from hopeless to being filled with hope. However, you who were formerly far away have now in Christ Jesus become nearby by the blood of Christ. In fact, He's our peace, who has made both Judeans and Gentiles one, and who has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility, by means of His flesh, and who has made the law of the commandments and decrees inactive, so that He could create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And so that He could reconcile them both to God in one body by means of the cross, by which He killed the hostility. He also came and proclaimed the gospel regarding peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were nearby. Because through Him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. So then, you're no longer strangers and visiting foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the holy sanctified ones and members of the household of God, who are being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, of which Christ Jesus Himself is the main cornerstone. It's not like the church is built on Peter, but what the apostle Peter taught. Do you understand? It's not built on Paul, but it's built on what Paul taught. The ministries were given simply to convey God's word and will to God's people. And they all speak concerning the coming of Christ and His accomplishments. That's how that thing works. In Him, Christ, the entire building being framed together grows into a holy, sanctified sanctuary in the Lord. In Him, you also are built together for God's dwelling place by the Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, am the prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you, the Gentiles. If, in fact, you've heard about the administration of the grace of God that was given to me for you, parenthesis, namely that by revelation the mystery was made known to me, even as I briefly wrote previously, end of parenthesis, then you're able by reading to grasp my understanding in the mystery pertaining to the Christ. In other generations, it was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to His holy, bracketed, sanctified apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Namely, that the Gentiles should be joint heirs and joint members of the same body and joint partakers of the promise, brackets, what was promised, in brackets, in Christ Jesus by the gospel. Of this mystery I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God that was given to me according to the working of His power. To me, who am less than the least of all holy or sanctified ones, was this grace given to proclaim the gospel regarding the untraceable riches of Christ to the Gentiles, and to enlighten all people regarding what is the administration of the mystery, parenthesis, which has been hidden from the ages in God, comma, who created all things, end of parenthesis, so that through the church, the multifarious wisdom of God could now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm, in accordance with the purpose of the ages which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. God can sure say a mouthful, can He? And that's just a letter wrote to believers, still in effect, as true today as the day it was written, addressed to us, believers in Christ Jesus, sanctified ones. God wants us to understand the mystery that in the fullness of times, all things in the heavens and the earth will be headed up under Christ. every enemy subdued, every promise and covenant fulfilled. Every word will be brought to its fruition, to its intended end, by the Christ. And we are members of His body by the exceeding great power He wrought in Him. He wants us to know our inheritance and His inheritance in us, the hope of His calling, the power He will bring it about with. And He wants us to understand it's going to take Him the ages to come, eternity, to bring it all to pass. The exceeding riches of His grace as He shows them to us as a loving Father with His tender mercies and great love for us. From having no hope to having that? Wow. Look at chapter 4 and we'll close out, go to lunch. It says in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the, putting forth a diligent effort to guard the unity that is from the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. There are how many bodies?
One.
How many spirit?
One.
Even as you're called in what?
One.
Of your calling. One Lord, one believing, one baptism, one God and Father of all, over all, through you all. Those are the 7 points of the unity we're to bust our butts to keep. That we're to diligently work to keep the bond of peace which God made in Christ. So it behooves us to learn what these are and stay put on them. They're not two baptisms like John's baptism of water and the baptism of Holy Spirit. There's only one. You were truly baptized with water, but not many days hence you'll be baptized with what? Holy Spirit. Replace the water. One Lord, Jesus Christ. One body, Jew and Gentile. One body in Christ. One hope of His calling. There are different stages of this hope. After we're gathered together, there'll be the fullness of time's administration. Yeah, here. The Lord's Day. And then, after He subdued every enemy, and they're all under His feet, the devil's going to be loosed who's locked up for 1,000 years. Then he's going to be loosed. He seduces the world, deceives the world again. And they come against Christ and His people at Jerusalem. Fire from heaven falls. End of second heaven and earth. Great white throne judgment. The day of God. It's called in the scriptures. The great white throne judgment. And the dead are raised. Whether they're in the sea or on land, all the dead are raised. And the books are open, and the book is open, the book of life. Secretary goes through. Name not found, lake of fire. And they're destroyed. It's called the second death. God's justice is carried out. That's the end of it. And then death is thrown into the lake of fire. It has to be a figure because you can't burn death. But it's showing God's purity of judgment is brought to the conclusion, its intended end, as He intended. And then you have a third, heaven and earth. And God says, I will make all things new again. And then He goes from there. All right. So let's quit there. We'll go eat some lunch. I'll have a word of prayer. Father, thanks for blessing the food, for blessing your people, and for a wonderful morning and a great afternoon. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.